So she had deep religious convictions. She spoke of water, but she could only think of the water in the well. She couldn't think about this living water of which the Lord Jesus. She spoke about worship being limited to this mountain, but she didn't realize that she was standing before the one whom she should worship. She even spoke of the Messiah, while not aware that he was right in front of her. Now, this is a sad commentary where the Lord says, "If thou knewest, if thou knewest."
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Glad to have you on the air today to bring you the message of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. We're looking today at the woman at the well whom the Lord interviewed and offered her water of which she would never thirst again. Now, our Lord was getting to the message of eternal life, and this is the Bible's presentation of that eternal, everlasting water of which, if you receive the Lord Jesus into your life, you will never, ever lose your soul. You'll never again be on the road to destruction. Your face will be toward glory, and one day you will be with Christ, which is far better. We also have in our song, our program today, the song "At Calvary" by Boaz Boone. Our question and answer today is based again on Sunday school teaching, and we're coming to the message of what are the specific aims in Sunday school teaching. A curse that blights much of human activity is aimlessness. The teal of the grasshopper and the ant illustrates vividly the necessity of purpose. The ant was diligent in business, working constantly toward the accomplishment of a predetermined end. The grasshopper spent time aimlessly, having nothing to do but to enjoy the thrill of passing through the air under the impetus of self-propelled activity, directed toward the accomplishment of nothing in particular. The ant attained results in terms of what her activity was intended to accomplish. The grasshopper reaped the consequences of having no end in view, for he perished as an outcome of his own aimless activity. The world is full of very active people who hop about hither and thither, but who never accomplish anything worthwhile, because they have never taken time to obtain the wisdom they could have were they to give careful consideration to the possible ends and goals of activity in which they engage. One who enters upon any course of action without such consideration is like a man who starts upon a journey without knowing where he is going, but both will get nowhere in particular. The aims of a Sunday school teacher are threefold: bring the child to Christ, build him up in Christ, send him forth to work for Christ. Taking each of these in turn, the Sunday school teacher will set about impressing on the mind of his student the clear teaching of the Bible on the three R's. What are those three R's? Man's ruin, redemption, and regeneration. The book of Genesis is vital to learn of sin's curse on the human race. More can be learned from the first chapters of Genesis than from a whole life study of psychology. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In that Bible account, the child will learn of Satan's existence and power to cause us to sin. The consequences of sin will also be learned from the Bible, that record on how Adam was driven from the presence of God. That is what sin does. It shuts men out from God, and even boys and girls need to learn about the curse of sin upon our lives, our soul as well as on our world. On the subject of sin, the Bible equates leprosy with man's pollution of sin. A child will quickly learn the horrors of sin from the account of Naaman, the king's ambassador who came to the prophet Elisha and was told to wash in the River Jordan. Sin needs to be washed away. The Lord has taught of the curse of sin, and he gave hope to lepers, to the blind, and even to the immoral by setting them free from the power of sin. After a child has learned about sin in the Sunday school classroom, he also needs to learn about redemption, the story of the cross, where our Lord Jesus became a curse for sin, will open up the good news of the gospel. Jesus' blood alone can save from sin. That truth is to be learned over and over again until it sinks into the heart of the child that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior and a perfect Savior from sin. The third R is regeneration. The miraculous power of God to change the human heart is a vital part of Christianity. And you and I, we need to learn what the Lord has done when He has redeemed us by the power of the blood and saved us by grace. Nicodemus was told that he needed to be born again. Can children take this in? Well, they certainly can learn the history of Nicodemus, how he came to Jesus by night, and of the words that the Lord Jesus stated, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Yet we know that it takes the Holy Spirit to apply the truth to the heart, and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to change the heart. That drives us to our knees in prayer. It is the sovereign work of God to regenerate precious souls, and it takes no less power to regenerate the soul of a child than an aged sinner. Regeneration is the miracle of the Holy Spirit's power. Thus, the whole church should be praying for the power of God to turn the hearts of children and youth to the Savior. Will you join in that prayer? And we do invite you to send your children along to our Sunday school. We'd love to have boys and girls to hear the way of God's salvation. And if you're a parent, may I exhort you to bring your children to a Bible-believing Sunday school where they will learn these vital truths of the gospel. And may the Lord use you as a parent to raise your children for the Savior. Thank you for joining with us here in the program today. And of course, we're continuing with our On the Women at the Well, whom Jesus offered living water. But of course, we have our hymn firstly, Boaz Boone singing at Calvary.
Yes, I stand in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so far me but He. At last my sin I learn, then I tremble at the Lord's span, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty God that got its hand at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burden so on liberty.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today.
We come to John 4, to the story of the woman of Samaria, this interview of the Lord Jesus right at the well. Her life is a story of God's great grace. It is a story of a woman who was taken from the depths to the heights, from being one who was a stranger to the Lord to become a very powerful witness, telling others about the Lord Jesus. Put your hand up if you told someone about the Lord Jesus this week. Well, that's good, and that's wonderful. But we don't always find it easy. We don't always find it a joy to our souls to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus. Something happened to this woman that she could not help but leave the water pot behind and run off to tell her village, her fellow neighbors, that Jesus, the Messiah, she has found him. She has found him. What a joy was in her soul. I wonder, is there that joy in your soul today? Can you say that that's why you want to witness? Because there's such a joy in your own soul that you just want to tell others about the Lord Jesus. Now at the well, in this interview, you'll notice that she was a blind sinner. She was physically near the Lord, but she was spiritually a million miles away. She hadn't a clue of who this person was until the Lord revealed himself. Verse 10, which we may take as our text today, is the very statement where the Lord reveals himself to this woman. Jesus said and answered unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Throughout this interview, she feels the test over and over. She only displays, really, the great darkness of her own soul. Now, she was a Samaritan. She talked about that hill where the Lord would return. She talked about, we are not all of the Jews, for the Jews, they have no dealings with the Samaritans. So she had deep religious convictions. She spoke of water, but she could only think of the water in the well. She couldn't think about this living water of which the Lord Jesus. She spoke about worship being limited to this mountain, but she didn't realize that she was standing before the one whom she should worship. She even spoke of the Messiah, while not aware that he was right in front of her. Now, this is a sad commentary where the Lord says, "If thou knewest, if thou knewest." It's a sad commentary. Here is a woman who has some light, some tradition, a whole lot of religion, but she's still in the dark. And you know, that's true of so many people to this hour. They have tradition, they have religion, they have notions, but they're a million miles away from the Lord. And we have to say that these people perish for the lack of knowledge. If thou knewest. So I want to tackle the job today as preacher here. I want to tackle the job of removing those things that blind us from the Lord. You can see that all of these things that this woman had, they were only adding to her blindness. And that's the world in which we live. That's the confusion that's all around us. A whole lot of religion, a whole lot of tradition, a whole lot of men's notions and personal ideas. And what are they but blinders to darken the darkness? People say that they have religion and their schools of learning. They are devoted to their mantras and their various holy books. But I reply, all of those things, they just drive people further and further away from the Lord. The true is in Protestant churches today. Protestant churches. Churches that ought to bring the light of the Lord Jesus. But there are people who are going further and further on the road to hell while they sit in church, perhaps even now, while we sit in our church. And what might be worst of all, that there's someone sitting amongst us here today, and you are going further and further into darkness. Surely it's my task to clear away anything that would add to that blindness. Now, the first cause, of course, is our fallen nature. Every son of Adam and Eve is born blind, spiritually blind. We cannot know God, neither do we seek after Him. And of course, there's all kinds of secular knowledge around us, and people think that because of this vast explosion of information in this digital age, well, people ought to be nearer to God. Well, let me tell you, the greatest whiz on computer is not any nearer to God than this woman with her water pot in a simple lifestyle. In fact, I would say that all the modern advance of secular knowledge is just causing greater blindness. They are further tools to distract and to blind. And I would say this, if this Samaritan woman, in her simplicity of life, fetching water from the well, was blinded to the Lord Jesus, how much more may men and women today? Surely our text, therefore, is very relevant. If thou knewest. So let the preacher begin his work. If thou knewest, the things that you need to know, the things you need to know, that you might become a living witness to rejoice in the Lord as your Savior. Firstly, we have to know that the Lord Jesus is the gift of God. Did you notice that in our text, verse 10? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Oh, here is the preaching of grace right away. If thou knewest God's great gift of marvelous love. And he had to lead this woman out of that rut of carnal thinking and get her to the place where she would just ask. If you read the whole verse carefully, it says this, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked. If there's a gift, you ask for it. That's salvation. That's salvation. That's how it works. Salvation is God's gift. And all you need to do as a sinner is ask. Is asked for it. And you need to learn that. And for some reason, human nature being what it is, it's a difficult thing to learn. It's a hard one. People don't grasp it. You mean it's as simple as that? I don't need to climb a mountain, don't need to cross a sea, I don't need to pay money, I don't need to do works of religion and go through the whole rigors of ceremony. No. Ask, and ye shall receive. That's the very first principle of the gospel. That's why it's good news. That's why it's the best news the world has ever received. And outside of biblical Christianity, you'll not hear that news. Ask and receive. You'll be told to do, and do, and do, and do. And you'll be on that treadmill of doing till the day you die, and then you still won't have done enough. But here is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and he says to this woman, it's a gift. And then he pointed out, more than that, that he himself was the gift. He is the gift. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee. If you only knew me, if you only knew who you're talking to, he was the gift, the very gift of God. And of course, God's Son is the gift of all gifts. And we're told in Romans 8:32 that he that hath given us his Son, delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And if we know that he's the gift of God, we put our faith in him, then we have come to the light. We have come to the knowledge that is essential to peace with God and fellowship with him, the gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, to natural minds, I say this is very foreign. It's all contrary to the principles of trade. In the principles of merchandise and trade, you give, you receive. Fair value, profit, and we trust no loss. Nobody wants to take a loss. You want your money's worth and more. That's the world of trade. But salvation's a gift. It's contrary to the world in which we live. Or of human desert. Work, receive. Perform, reward. No. This is ceasing from work and accepting the very gift. Again, human desert, you reap what you sow. If that was the case, we'll all be in hell because we have sown sin. We have sown the broken law. We have offended God over and over and over. And the harvest of that sowing is eternal destruction. The wages of sin is death. But God's gift, God's salvation is a gift. It's also contrary to law because the law says the sinner must die. You're guilty, you pay. The eternal payment is eternal hell. But this is God's gift. If thou knewest, here's the light dawning, here's the light coming on, here's your mind opening up to the great reality that it's a gift, full, free, unmerited redemption. And of course, on your own terms, human works, you really try to become your own Savior. We preach that you need the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And if you're depending on works religion, then you're making your own Savior. And you're really making yourself your own Savior. It's preposterous. It's just so off the wall, so far off the mark. God's gift is your only hope. Ask. Ask. Will you do that? Will you stretch out the hand of faith to receive the gift of God's Son? That's number one. Secondly, we learn here, we need to know that the Lord Jesus is willing to give living water. Again, this verse 10, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, this woman, of course, was burdened about her domestic needs, hence the pot, hence the trip to the well, and her interview with the Lord at that well. And it was not till the end of the conversation with the Lord Jesus that she left her pot and went off running to tell others that she'd found the Messiah. Oh, what an interview it was. The light came on. And what eventually got through to her was the fact of these very opening words of the Lord Jesus that he would give living water. And therefore she abandoned her pot and went off running. There's the gift, living water. What is this living water? It doesn't come out of a well. It doesn't pour into a pot. It is life from above. It's the new birth, it's regeneration, it's the Holy Spirit that comes into the heart and the soul of men, women, and young people who trust the Lord Jesus as the Savior. This is the living water that Jesus gives. Do you know that? If thou knewest the gift of God, you have to understand too that the Lord Jesus is the giver. He gives living water. There's no one else. He gives living water. And this is the very spirit of the giver. He's willing. He's willing to give. If thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldest have asked, and thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given. There's no doubt about it. There's the willingness of the Lord Jesus. Of course, for this reason, our Lord came into the world, not to condemn, but to save. He wants to give life, not condemnation. For this purpose, he suffered on the cross. And when you see that dying figure upon the Roman gibbet, when you hear the agonies the cries, the groans of our Lord, and his prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's he doing? He's willing to give pardon, forgiveness, full salvation. And for this purpose, our Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into the world. That's his promise. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter who will come unto you, even the Holy Spirit. He's in the world. He comes into our hearts. This is the living water. And for this purpose, he sends preachers. And he raises up missionaries and churches and ministries of the gospel. Why? Because the Lord Jesus wants to give living water, salvation, to all who will believe. I thank God across this country there are churches that preach this gospel. I thank God that there are missionaries in ever so many corners of the world telling the old, old story of the cross, of Jesus and his love. Why has God done this? Because he gives living water, and he's willing to do it. It's full and free.
Thank you for joining with us here in our program today. May the Lord draw near and bless you. Our final Bible verse as we let the Bible speak, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, here is the wonder of it all, an inheritance that we have obtained. We never earned it. We have never worked for it, but we've obtained it by grace, by the sovereign, gracious purposes of God. And I trust that today that you will rejoice in your standing in Christ and rejoice in the power of the gospel that has chosen you, has saved you, and will present you into glory to receive that eternal . This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.